preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and if you've been with us this week, you know we're considering the great subject of evangelism. And yesterday, I outlined a bit of the current church climate for you. We looked at what the baby boomers have done in the consumer-driven model, the consumer model, big business, corporate model, in basically trying to sell the gospel. And then we looked at what the emergents, reacting to their boomer parents, threw down all authority structures and have thrown down authority structures and have obliterated any distinction between the church and the culture. And therefore, we looked at with great detail how both of these phenomenons today and both of these trends and both of these movements have been sad defections from the design of Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, where Jesus gives this great commission where he said, go, baptize, and teach. Those three verbal adjectives all dependent on the main verb, which is make disciples. Disciples are made as we go, baptize, and teach. And so as the ordained officers of the church fulfill their calling, disciples are made who in turn go out and be salt and light in the earth to invite their friends and tell them of the wonderful things Christ has done for them, to witness of their faith, and then to bring them back to the place where disciples are made. Now, I left off yesterday by saying that this presents churches who are willing to stand for the truth of the design in Matthew 28, a unique opportunity to stand out and show others that the design that Christ gave in Matthew 28 does have real life-transforming power when it is honored. Because Christ has told us that he delights to bless the means that he has chosen. And I would humbly say today, and I don't say this in any pride, I just say this because I believe this, that one of the strong points of confessionally reformed churches is that they have not assimilated into the next fad out there. Some reformed churches have. But the ones that have held strong to what they believe have not assimilated into the next fad that comes at us in American evangelicalism. So what keeps people and what keeps churches from these fads? Louis Burkhoff lamented in his day when he said, sects are springing up like mushrooms on every side. Well, he said that in his day, back in the 30s and 40s. What about us? Churches so bad want to mirror the culture around them today that they often fall in. But what is the corrective? One pastor wrote, to turn one's back on the historic creeds is therefore to turn one's back on what God has given us through the struggle of the centuries, and to run the risk of trying to build up once more what has already been tried. To preach a creed is one of the best, very best methods possible of avoiding tangents and vagaries, of securing a balanced and full-orbed presentation of the Bible as a whole. What he's saying is that it is our confessions that provide a resource to keep us from the temptations and fads of the modern culture. In other words, we do have church structures today. We do have churchy documents that define who we are and define what the Bible teaches, allowing us to hold fast to the confessions of our faith in our teaching and preaching. And that is the safest way to keep us from all these fads that come down the way. So in other words, if we're going to have a passion for what we believe and holding fast to it, showing how these truths have transformed us in God's power, that should produce a desire for others to have what we have. But has it? You see, that's the question. Now, we have to be a little bit introspective, don't we? If we are going to be evangelistically minded, which we should be, if we're going to capitalize on the moment presented to us in the midst of all this church chaos, which has resulted, We've got a real opportunity handed to us to show people the correct design. We have to be willing to admit faults, don't we? Because there are dynamics that come into play. What can happen in church bodies that are very zealous for holding the truth in this sea of chaos, in this age of spiritual bankruptcy? Well, the first can be a wrong kind of communalism. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm not taking exception to who we are in our separateness as God's people. We are a holy people, we are a separate nation, and there are distinctives that we can never share with the world. The Lord's Supper, baptism, I'm not talking about these things. It's as one pastor said that can happen in the life of a church, a kind of corporate identity that conceals Christ's power. It's a corporateness that is closed, exclusionary, and mechanically ritualistic. So in a sense, I'm talking about the challenge of churches that are doctrinal, of dealing with the very messy lives of sinners as we bring them into our communion without falling into this great trap of compromise or simply trying to please them. That's our goal. Remember the design again, that we would be transformed under this ministry and that we would go and that we would tell others so that they come in. And that's why you didn't have people in the Bible days talking about follow-up. I mean, today you hear follow-up. People are going out and leaving them out there. That's why you need follow-up. Follow-up takes place in the confines and in the shelter and in the family of the church. So what do we do with them when they come in? How do we treat them? Do we know how to handle them? Do we know how to enfold them? It was a tragedy to hear of a lady in her church who wanted to witness to unbelievers. And she was asked, well, why don't you invite so-and-so to church? And she said, I don't know if I can. I don't think they would connect or they would ever be really accepted here. What was she reacting to? Well, generally speaking, there are problems, you know, things that people face and react to in this regard. She was probably reacting to the real problem of the congregation functioning as a closed sort of tribe to the very messy lives of sinners out there. So in other words, there can be a wrong kind of separation from the world, an unbiblical kind of separation. We can create a hub, a bubble of what everyone is supposed to be and look like if they're going to be, quote, real Christians. And we can become so accustomed to that, that when someone comes in from the outside of what has become so common to us, we don't even know how to react. What do we do when people come into our fellowship who are different than us and have different starting points and don't look like us? You know? You see, what many evangelicals have reacted to today is an unbiblical kind of communalism that they feel they could never be a part of. And I'm not so sure we have always communicated that we want to include people like that. You know, I just heard of one church that the pastor was witnessing and he was bringing in all these really rough people with messy lives. And a lot of the old guard got mad because they felt like their church was being taken from them and they left. Well, that just exposed a bunch of Phariseeism, didn't it? You see, there's also another dynamic that plays in here, and that's a very theoretical approach to our doctrine. The famous John Newton once said, Calvinism was one of the worst systems preached theoretically, but one of the best preached practically. You know, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? And we could even add to that, that the doctrines of grace in the church, instead of having an aim of making men disciples of Christ and drawing sinners to Christ, instead of instilling a deep love for him in his grace, instead of the doctrines having that warming approach of wooing us to Christ, they often can become a basis for us to take pride in who I am and who my church is. You see, I disagree with what a lot of people are doing out there today on Abounding Grace. I've exposed that on the radio. I've exposed that in preaching, as I believe you're supposed to do, as Paul exposed wolves too. But ultimately, I do that because my evangelistic concern is that people who are being led astray would come to the truth. I'm really concerned for their souls. Instead of me refusing to talk to them, sometimes what people need the most is my witness. And that witness is often right in my backyard. The point is as Paul said, our doctrines can have the effect of puffing us up in who we are instead of tenderly wooing us to Jesus Christ, instead of filling us with the love of Christ so that it would in turn promote our own discipleship. And that's a real phenomenon. How could the doctrines of grace become a means to promote indifference to our responsibility of being witnesses of the truth? Sadly, it has. In other words, the doctrines of grace should so humble us because we understand what we have been pulled out of ourselves. And that instills within us a burning desire to see others receive what we have. But instead, you know, we can become hard, calloused people. So I'm saying this, and this is a really important point today. When we build a community that is only there for its sake, culturally, physically, and doctrinally, when we do that, what becomes our primary goal of the church? Well, that's not too hard to figure out. The primary goal becomes our own comforts and our own safety. You know, pastors have a lot of pressures on them today to pray for the hurts of their people. A lot of things going on, and those are things that have to be prayed for. But you know, how often do pastors get asked to pray for today that unbelieving next-door neighbor who may die tonight, and because he doesn't believe in Jesus, the Bible says we'll go to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You see, that should be a great burden to us. But often, we are so focused inwardly on our own comforts. Didn't that happen with Jonah? Jonah wanted to see the city of Nineveh destroyed. He was concerned about a plant, and the Lord says to him, "Should I not be concerned about these 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left?" Open your eyes, my friends. All around us are people wandering, who, as Ezekiel understood, are people who are dry bones in a great valley. Too many churches are only there to accommodate religious people. And we can create a self-contained culture where we feel safe and don't have to get messy. Jesus calls us, though, to be witnesses and salt and light. And that will involve us in investing our lives in those who need to hear the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ's life for sinners given. Because you know, that's how we are saved. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. our worship service times, we give you a sincere invite to join us and come to be nourished on this powerful gospel that is able to change your life. Again, you can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.